This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. I'd like to welcome you all here today, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. A couple of notes. We're going to do reading. We're going to do communion. It's a little different. And myself and the elders will commune at the end of the communion process rather than at the beginning. So just for timing purposes, we will do that at the end. Also today, for those watching at home, our service is Divine Service 4 from the Lutheran Service Book. We have hymn numbers 804, 717, 956, 507, 607, and 739. Well, Father, the order of service received on the way in, beginning on page 3 with confession and absolution, followed by the sharing of peace and the processional hymn. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept the record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon it in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us kneel and receive the confession.
Thank you. may cheerfully accomplish what you want done through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reading of our lessons from God's Holy Word. Rise for the singing of the Alleluia verse.
Thank you.
14th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for the children's message.
Of course, first of all, what a great place to be. What a great day. As always, be in God's house. And I really kind of debated today over the lesson, what did I want to talk to the kids about? And I thought it would be really easy to try and scare them. But who likes to tease kids? I certainly not me. But we have, from the Old Testament reading with Job, it's really kind of intimidating when you listen to it. And there aren't any kids I can try to intimidate, maybe Cameron or anyone, but God speaks to Job and reprimands him, really. You can feel that fear of God's voice asking Job, "Who do you think you are?" And then we have Peter walking on water. And what happens to him? He sees the wind, he sees the waves, and he sinks. But it kind of comes back to a couple weeks ago, I had the easy button. And God's word can be so easy. We don't have to be afraid, but we have that paradox. We have that tension. We have that back and forth. Are we afraid? Why do we have this God who brings this destruction, who allows death, who has all these fears in the world for us? But then we have these words in the epistles today. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So I thought, I could talk to them about what's the most important body part. Certainly, we have the brain. The brain controls everything, right? But without the heart, putting oxygen, putting blood in the brain, but without the lungs, with the oxygen and the blood, or maybe it's just like the diaphragm, to open up and let the lungs breathe, and that's what gets the oxygen, and let the heart pump the oxygen. So all this, what's the right way to go? What do we need? But it's the feet. It's the feet. We hear today how beautiful the feet are. And it comes from Isaiah. The Old Testament, Isaiah 52:7 says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news." We have all these wonderful references from God about our feet. Psalm 40, verse 2, "He set my feet upon a rock." And God is on the rock. And we know that the rock weeks ago. If you'd say it after me, we'll close with it as our prayer. Psalm 56:3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you.
We continue with our sermon hymn, also the Navy hymn, Eternal Father, Strong to Save, on page 12 and 13.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This week's gospel lesson picks up right where we left off last week. To recap a bit, recently Jesus has been rejected at his hometown in Nazareth. John the Baptist is beheaded. Jesus and his disciples withdraw by boat to try to grieve in peace, but the crowds follow. Jesus heals their sick. And then he miraculously feeds 5,000 plus people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Afterwards, the disciples gather up 12 basketfuls of leftovers. And now it's time for the disciples to leave. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. The disciples are out in the boat trying to make their way across the Sea of Galilee against the wind. We don't know if they're tacking with the sail or if they're rowing. It's hard going against the wind and the waves, but they're making progress and have made it a few miles. Sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., Jesus comes to them in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. It's late at night. It's dark. They're tired. And the disciples see a figure walking on the water miles from shore. They're terrified. They assume it's a ghost, a phantom, and it's coming to get them. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." The disciples thought it was a ghost, but now Jesus identified himself. "It is I, and not a ghost." Most of the disciples are satisfied, but not Peter. Oh, Peter. Peter is my most favorite and least favorite disciple for the same reason. He's too much like me. Peter is the impulsive disciple who always seems to be the one who has something to say when nothing needs to be said. In this instance, Peter challenges Jesus. Peter challenges Jesus' identity. He challenges Jesus' authority. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." If it is you. You can hear echoes from Jesus' temptation in the wilderness by the devil after his baptism. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. If you are who you say you are." Peter is the most thick-headed of the thick-headed disciples. And he is so much like you and me. How many times have you questioned Jesus' identity and Jesus' authority? You are a baptized child of God. God has marked you with water and the Spirit. What a blessing. We'll get to witness that tomorrow at the 11 o'clock service, where the three Miller children from our school who are becoming members of the church are going to be baptized here. You have been baptized. You are a citizen in the kingdom of heaven. You are a part of the body of Christ on earth. You are a part of the church. You should know better. And yet, how often do you find yourself being like Peter? Questioning Jesus' identity. Questioning Jesus' authority. Is Jesus really God? Can he really forgive my sins? For far too many, the answer to the question, "Why are you going to heaven?" is, "Because I am good enough." You're tempted to believe this. You're tempted to think that you do not need Jesus, that salvation is a do-it-yourself proposition, that you can be good enough, or at least not as bad as that guy over there. You're tempted to question if Jesus really is God and if he really can forgive sins. You're tempted to question Jesus' authority to forgive sins, and you're tempted to question God's authority to give law. You're tempted to think that the Ten Commandments are something that was given to someone else at another time. You're tempted to try to explain away your behavior with the "but." I know the Bible says this is wrong, but I have a good excuse. I know I shouldn't be looking at that website, but I know I shouldn't be getting drunk, but I know I need to control my anger, but I know I need to treasure and love and serve my spouse, but I know I should come to church as much as I can, but I know intimacy belongs only inside the marriage union of a man and a woman, but I know I should forgive those who sin against me, but I know, fill in your favorite sin. I know it's wrong, but I know better. I know better than God. Peter should know better than to question Jesus' identity or authority. He has seen Jesus in action. He was just with Jesus, miraculously feeding 5,000 plus people. Even Peter questions Jesus. If it is you. Jesus calls Peter out to walk on the water, but then Peter doubts Jesus' authority and he begins to sink. And this is where Jesus wants Peter. Because Peter realizes that he's helpless and he cries out, "Lord, save me." This is where you find yourself. You dabble with evil thoughts, evil words, evil deeds. You think you can control it, but then you find yourself sinking into the murky depths of rebellion and sin, and there is only one thing you can do. Cry out, "Lord, save me." When you are caught up in sin, know that you cannot do it yourself. You cannot fix it. Ask for help because you need help. You need Jesus. Cry out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reaches out his nail-scarred hand and takes hold of you and brings you back into the boat. Jesus gives you the gift of salvation that he earned on the cross of Calvary. Jesus restores you to purity and holiness that comes not from you, but from him alone. This area of the church where you're sitting is called the nave. It looks like an upside-down boat. It comes from the Latin word navis, which means ship. Stay in the boat. Stay in the ship of faith. Trust in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Repent of the times you have questioned Jesus' identity or challenged his authority. Repent of trying to run your own life and submit to Jesus' will for your life. And life in the ship of faith is not a luxury cruise to exciting ports. Life in the ship of faith is living daily life, doing what you're supposed to do. Love God and love your neighbor. It is life doing what you are given to do. The young mother caring for her child is doing the Lord's work. The engineer working to provide safe air travel is doing the Lord's work. The teacher preparing to teach students in this crazy new school year is doing the Lord's work. Fight the temptation to get out of the boat. But if you do stray, know where your help comes from. Cry out as you do in the confession of sins, "Lord, save me." Because he will. Because he already has. Trust in the Lord always. Stay in the boat. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
prayers this morning. Remember Sheila Barber, who had brain cancer. Jim Williams' brother Scott, who has bone cancer. And Michaela Bailey's friend Trent, recovering from a brain bleed. For Joy Bailey's friend Danita, suffering from heart issues. For Meredith Sandman, who's having eye issues. For Jim Zarker, Rebecca Zarker's husband, who's fallen and broke his femur. It was repaired with surgery 2 days ago, and he's recovered. And for Vivian Freeman, mother of Don Freeman, our custodian, who's having severe health problems, and for whom the end draws near. Lord our God, we do not presume to know your ways or inform your judgment. We ask you to grant us your Holy Spirit that we may apprehend your ways and know your Son, Jesus Christ, by faith. Give us wisdom that we may trust in your word amid the stormy seas of this mortal life and be safely delivered from all danger on the eternal shores of heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord our God, we have no righteousness of our own, but only the righteousness of Christ in which we were clothed in baptism. Grant us grace that we may be faithful in every circumstance and bold in the confession of his saving name. Guard those who preach your word to us so that hearing we may believe, and believing we may have everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord our God, we see the great need and ask you to raise up those who will serve us as pastors, teachers, missionaries, and in all church work vocations. Bless church planters and the younger congregations that they may endure. Bring hope and renewal to all struggling congregations and pastors who serve them. And do not let fear keep us from your word and sacraments. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord our God, we ask you to bless us, our nation, and those who lead us. Guide all elected and appointed civil servants in their judgments. That we may know justice in our land and peace among the nations. Make us especially mindful of those who need our special protection, the unborn, the aged, and the oppressed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord our God, we pray for your blessing upon the schools where children learn, especially the schools, universities, and seminaries of our church. Give your blessing to all places where your people gather to teach and learn your word. Help us remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord our God, we remember the sick, those who suffer, those troubled in mind, the grieving, and the dying. Deliver them according to your will and grant them the comfort of your word in their afflictions, that they may depend upon your mercy in every circumstance. Hear us especially for Sheila, Scott, Trenton, Vanita, Mary Lou, Jim, and Vivian. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord our God, we do not presume to come to you to this your table, trusting in our own merits. Give to us faith to serve Christ in his body and blood and repentance, that we may receive for our good his gift of himself and his blessed communion. What we have received with our lips, help us to keep in holy, upright, and godly lives. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord our God, we give thanks to the saints of old who trusted in you in life and now rest in Christ from all their labors. Deliver us from all evil and lead us through all temptation, so that at last we may join them in the marriage supper of the Lamb in your kingdom without end. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord our God, we pray you to be our light in darkness, our strength in weakness, our courage in fear, and our peace in distress. Speak to us by the voice of your word, that we may call upon you in the day of trouble and confess your saving name before all people. Hear us on behalf of ourselves and those for whom we have prayed, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name and evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us the Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
peace. Your sins are forgiven.
Precious Lord.
you can see, just a couple announcements. On the altar out in the narthex, there is a sign up for ushers if people would like to help usher at any of the different services. Mainly someone help dismiss people for communion, help someone up and down. Or we don't actually come up that way. Dismiss for communion is going to help the elder. When the elder is up doing communion, kind of keep an ear out for the doorbell, things like that. Also, the Pathway to Hope Pregnancy Care Center, if they couldn't have their annual banquet this year, they are having an online gathering, Choose Life, Choose Love, Choose Hope. It'll be on Thursday, the 27th of August at 7. Registration information is in your news and notes for that. So, go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.